This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu wa ba'd. So tafsir surah Ar-Ra'd. We said last time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Surah Al-Ra'd by talking about the Qur'an being the revelation or the signs of the revelation. And we mentioned the types of people who fall in disbelief. There are different types. So people reject faith or they fail to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His book due to different reasons. And then we mentioned what we call Ayatul Kawniyyah. These are the signs in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said you're going to find throughout Surah Ar-Ra'd, it's called thunder. And thunder is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. So this shows that the surah itself connects, makes a very strong connection between two things. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. It connects the lordship of Allah, that He's the creator, the sustainer, the provider. He's the originator of the universe. And it makes the logical conclusion that if Allah is the creator, is the only creator, the only provider, He's the only one who deserves to be worshipped. He's the only one who has the right to be worshipped. So this is what the surah goes around. So it mentions signs in the creation, the might of Allah, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows the absurdity of disbelief in Allah. That's completely illogical. Completely illogical. And the irony today is that a lot of atheism seems to come from a scientific background. And this is this is the irony of the ironies. Because a simple logic, very simple, straightforward logic, shows that disbelief in the creator of the heavens and the earth is completely illogical, taken in consideration the context of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we reached we finished with verse 5, and we move on now to verse number 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثُلَاتِ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they request in haste what is bad, what is evil, which is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they even wish for what is good. And there is a context for this that I will explain. وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثُلَاتِ. And before them, the examples of previous nations that have been destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ample. There's enough of them. There is a sufficient number of those and their news that have reached these people. Yet these people are in defiance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are asking for punishment. They are asking for punishment. Then Allah, so let me provide a context for this verse. وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثُلَاتِ وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. السَّيِّئَةِ, here is the punishment of Allah. عقاب الله وعذاب الله عز وجل. السَّيِّئَةِ. سَيِّئَةِ means evil, bad. And this is where sin comes from. سَيِّئَةِ, something evil, something bad. So the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also referred to as sayyi'ah, because it's against, obviously when someone is the subject of the punishment, this is a bad, obviously a bad thing for him. So they ask you in defiance to bring the punishment of Allah upon them. That's what the context is. And it's mentioned in Surah, this is mentioned more clearly in Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ ائْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And they said, O Allah, if this is the truth from you, then send upon us, you know, stones from heavens. So let these skies rain upon us, or send upon us stones. فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ ائْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, or send upon us a severe, painful punishment. So this shows the illogical, mentality of such people who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because A better way would be, oh Allah, this is the truth from you, then shower us with blessings. Why punishment? But this shows the high level of defiance and rejection of the truth. I'm going to see what Sheikh al-Shanqiti here, because, by the way, I'm trying to take some insights from both Tafsir of Sheikh al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the book, which is not necessarily Tafsir, but it's a special kind of Tafsir, by Sheikh al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is Adwa'u al-Bayan fi Idah al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. This book is very interesting. I mean, there are different prints. This print is 10 volumes. Any student who wants to study Qur'an properly in the Arabic language, who really wants to understand the Qur'an, honestly, at this time, this is a must. This is a must to have. It's called Adwa'u al-Bayan, the lights of clarification, fi idah al-Qur'ani bil-Qur'an, by explaining the Qur'an by the Qur'an. So it brings, it goes over the verses of the Qur'an. It doesn't cover all the verses, by the way. It only covers the verses where there are other verses to explain them or provide context for them. Sheikh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala. So, the Sheikh here says, this verse, the meaning of this verse, actually resonates with other verses in the Qur'an. One of them is in Surah Al-Hajj, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. And they request you to send the punishment of Allah as soon as possible upon them, in defiance of the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah will never break His promise. The punishment will come them, but in due time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to come upon them. And also in Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَوْلَا أَجَلٌ مُسَمَّا لَجَاءَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَيَأْتِيَنَّهُمْ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they seek you to bring the punishment upon them sooner. They say, if you are truly a messenger from Allah, send the punishment upon us. Prove your messengership by bringing the punishment of Allah upon us now. That's their defiance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and had it not been that we have appointed a specific time for their punishment, we would have brought it now. But we have an appointed time for this punishment to befall them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it shall come upon them when they do not feel it, and when they do not expect it. And it's also in Surah Al-Ma'arij, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ. People of Quraysh used to come to the Prophet ﷺ, and they say, if you really threaten us with the punishment of Allah, show it to us, prove it to us. And the Mufassireen, they say, I mean, the logical point, if you truly like are questioning someone, whether they are a messenger from Allah or not, you basically tell them, if you are truly from Allah, let Allah help us. Let Allah give us something. And actually the people of Quraysh did something similar to that. But their common argument against the Prophet ﷺ was, if you are upon the truth, send Allah's punishment upon us now. But the people of Quraysh, they have asked the Prophet ﷺ for certain signs. So they said, if you are truly a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will believe in you with one condition, that Allah turns, you ask Allah to turn As-Safa and Al-Marwa into gold mountains. Turn them into gold mountains. And the Prophet ﷺ requested Allah, oh Allah, turn them into gold mountains. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and he said, Allah says, if you want, He could turn these into gold. But if they disbelieve, I will destroy them. Or we shall not respond to this request, and we give them time. The Prophet ﷺ says, no, give them time. Give them time. The Prophet ﷺ was merciful. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he knew these people were saying this just in defiance. Because previously, the Prophet ﷺ, they asked him for a sign, and he showed them the sign, which is when the moon split, right? They saw the moon split in front of their eyes, then they started finding excuses not to believe. So they said, Saharana Muhammad. He played some magic upon us. So we saw something that wasn't real. It was some kind of illusion. And this is why they said, okay, let's ask, you know, caravans who are in the desert, when they arrive in Mecca, like in a few days, We're going to ask them if they saw if the moon split, then it's not magic. So when the caravans arrived like four days later, they started asking them. They said, yeah, we saw the moon split. So they realized it wasn't magic, but still they disbelieved in it. So the Prophet ﷺ knew that they were not going to believe. So he said, no, don't turn them into gold and give them more time. Hopefully some of them would believe. And subhanAllah, a good number of those people from Quraysh, disbelievers at the time, they actually came back to Islam later on. And again, the verse in Surah Al-Anfal that we quoted previously. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura as well, يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَا. The people who disbelieve in the day of judgment and the punishment of the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they ask you to bring it now. Bring the punishment of the hellfire now. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مُشْفِقُونَ مِنْهَا وَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهَا الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Whereas the believers, they are in a state of apprehension and fear for themselves about the day of judgment. They really fear it. They fear it. So that shows the difference between a believer and a disbeliever. And also in Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the disbelievers. وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا عَجِّلْ لَنَا قِطَّنَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ. The disbelievers said, oh Allah, bring the punishment that you have designed for us on the day of judgment, bring it now. We want it now. Before the day of judgment starts, bring it now. So you can see, usually kufr, by the way, oftentimes, as we previously mentioned the different types of kufr, we said, هناك كفر جهل. Kufr out of ignorance. Someone doesn't know anything about Islam. They've never come across the true message of Islam. Or they have, what they heard about Islam is what you find in the media. So these people are completely misinformed about Islam. This is kufr jahl. So this, they disbelieved in Islam because they thought it was evil. This is kufr jahl. Or kufr i'rad as well, falls within. We said i'rad is more if someone recognized the truth in Islam, but they're busy with their daily life, or they know if they become Muslim, there are certain things they have to give up on, and so on and so forth. So they say, maybe not now, maybe later. Now let me, you know, carry on with my life, with my lifestyle, and later on I will see. I will have time to look into Islam a bit more. And there is kufr juhud wa inad, people who live in denial. They see Islam is the truth, they decide, I don't want it. They know it's the truth, and they decide to leave it. These people do this out of arrogance. Out of arrogance. And this is why kufr is called, kufr comes from the Arabic word kafara, which is to cover something, ghatta, to cover something. So these people, in their hearts, they recognized Islam is the truth, but they covered this. They covered it, suppressed it, and decided to go against it. That's where the word actually kufr comes from. So so the people of disbelief who disbelieve in Islam after seeing the truth, after seeing the signs, after recognizing the reality of Islam, these are the people who come from a state of position of arrogance. And these are the people who are going to have this kind of arguments. What? That if there's punishment, bring it upon us. But if someone is neutral, someone is open-minded, they really want to see if Islam is the truth or not. They haven't made it their minds yet. So they approach Islam with an open mind and open heart. These people don't have to say, if you have a punishment, bring it upon us. They say, show me signs. Show me signs. Show me, you know, how Islam is the truth. Prove it to me. That's a fair kind of stance to take with regards to Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in the Qur'an to this kind of argument. That they, again, we are explaining now the beginning of the verse, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ. And they, instead of them requesting good from you, okay, if Allah is there, give us something good from Him. No, they request something bad. Now, here Imam Muhammad Al-Amin al-Shanqiti, he shows some verses from the Qur'an, he brings them together nicely, and he shows how Allah responds to this argument in the Qur'an. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, وَلَئِنْ أَخَّرْنَا عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابَ إِلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ مَعْدُودَةٍ لَيَقُولُنَّ مَا يَحْبِسُهُ. Allah is saying, and if we were to delay their punishment, they would say, what is holding it back? So you guys asking for it. Now, if Allah is going to hold it a little bit back away from you, they would say, why is it not coming yet? We're waiting for this punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying as well, فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ وَعَتَوْا عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ اُتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Also in Surah Al-A'raf, when Salih alayhi salam was sent to his people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought for them the sign, which is an-naqa, the she-camel, that came from the from rocky mountains. And then they killed it. They said to Salih alayhi salam, to the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, in defiance, they said, okay, now bring the punishment. Now bring the punishment that you promised, that if we do any harm to this she-camel, you promised us with the punishment. Okay, bring it upon us. Come on. So it shows you again the arrogance and the defiance. Also the people of Nuh alayhi salam, this is also in Surah Hud, قَالُوا يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِيدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. They also said to Nuh alayhi salam, you have argued with us so much, you know, because Nuh alayhi salam, as in Surah Nuh, he said that he's approached his people from different angles, different styles. He spoke in public, he spoke in private. He spoke with loud voice, with low voice. He used arguments and he used advice and he used this and he used that. People still kept away from the message. So they said to him, you have argued with us so much, so much. So they said, so enough of this. If you have a punishment, bring it upon us now. Bring it upon us now. So that's the same attitude, and it shows that these people come from a position of arrogance. وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثَلَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply responds to this argument by saying, but the examples, مثلات is plural. That's the plural of مُثْلَة. مُثْلَة. مُثْلَة means a very bad punishment. It means punishment. It means something painful. This is why when mutilation, for example, of dead bodies is called muthla. It's called muthla or tamthil in Arabic language. So any kind of punishment or pain or attack is called in Arabic muthla. Muthla. Some of the mufassirin, they said muthla or mathulat. No, it comes from, it's a plural of mathal, which is an example of nations that came before. But in this verse, both of them lead to the same meaning. Now, these people are asking you for punishment. If there's a punishment from Allah, bring it upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and these people are out of their minds. Because the previous nations whose news have reached you, they have been punished. They disbelieved in their prophets and messengers, and the news of their destruction have reached you. So why do you need to bring the punishment upon yourself? So if you want to make sure that the punishment is really there, you already know that it came to the nations that were before you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah now explains a wider context of how He deals with His creation. I remember, subhanAllah, this is something I shared previously. When I was in high school, I had one of my colleagues. Although he grew up in a Muslim country, but I don't know what happened to him. And I remember it was in one of the main squares in my town, and we were coming back from school. And he had an argument with some brothers, practicing brothers. And Allah, he said in defiance, and this is a Muslim and an Arab, brought up in a Muslim, completely in a Muslim country, an Arab country. And he says, I don't believe Allah is there. And I don't know what made him say this, but at that time he was very rebellious. And he said, bring him to me, I'm going to fight with him. And he says, if you are up there, come and I want to fight with you. I don't believe you're even there. And he used some bad language. And at that moment, I really said to myself, like, you know, you're still young and you're hot-blooded. So I said, oh Allah, please, like, I wanted to punch him, but I don't want to get in trouble. But I said, oh, please Allah, destroy him now. Please Allah, take him out now. And I felt bad that this guy was still alive, nothing happened to him. Next day he came to the school, no problem, nothing. I really felt bad, and I felt in my small mind at the time that Allah should have punished him. So 3 years ago, I pray in a masjid and I see this guy in the masjid. I see him in the masjid. When I asked about him, they said this guy prays the 5 daily prayers in the masjid. Yes, I realized my mind was so small. My heart was so small at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something similar. After all this defiance and these people are saying, if you have punishment, O Muhammad, bring it upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَىٰ ظُلْمِهِمْ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And your Lord is so merciful to His creation despite their oppression, despite their injustice. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ, and your Lord is also severe in punishment. He is severe in punishment. So that shows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not run this universe by our wishes and desires. Oftentimes when what's happening to the Muslims in different parts of the world, and people are saying, where is Allah? How come Allah allows all this injustice and these atrocities to take place? Where is Allah? Allah is not hastened by your rush. Allah is not hastened by that. Allah acts according to His knowledge. Allah acts according to His wisdom. Allah acts according to His mercy. Allah is more merciful to these servants than we are. But our minds are small. We're hasty. We want to rush, we want to change things. Because we act from our small minds, our narrow world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows way beyond that. He sees way beyond that. And if He allows something to happen, He has wisdom behind it. And He also has mercy behind it. This is why Imam Al-Qayyim comments on something. This is some kind of athar that comes from the people of the scripture. And we know in Islam, the Prophet says, لا تصدقوهم ولا تكذبوهم. We call it Israeliyat. Things that come from the people of the scripture. We don't reject them and we don't accept them. We check them. If they are in line with our Sharia, with Islam, we accept the meaning. If they go against something we know from the Quran, the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet, okay, we reject that. If it agrees with the Quran, the Sunnah, we accept the meaning. If it disagrees, we reject it. Simple as that. But we don't make a blank statement about them. They're all bad, they're all good. It's not like this. It's a differentiated approach. So Imam Al-Qayyim mentions something about this, and he says, يَقُولُ عَبْدِي أو يَقُولُ النَّاسِ اِرْحَمْ عَبْدَكَ مِمَّا هُوَ فِيهِ. Some of my servants say about another one who's been tried, oh Allah, have mercy on your servant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responds, كَيْفَ أَرْحَمُهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. كَيْفَ أَرْحَمُهُ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. كَيْفَ أَرْحَمُهُ وَأَنَا بِهِ رَاحِمْ. How do you want me to have mercy on him when he's already in my mercy? Because this trial is a mercy from Allah. There might be hardship, there might be pain in it, but you don't see the other side of it, which is so much great mercy. An example of this is what the Prophet ﷺ says, that a servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints a high place in paradise, a high place in paradise for a person. And he doesn't get to that level with his actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries him with hardship so he qualifies to get to that level. Allah qualifies him. Yeah, so this is just an example of the mercy of Allah. So a punishment or a hardship that you're going through, it might be a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I said, in our small minds, we want to act quickly. So we have to remember this, we have to remind ourselves of this balance. And this is why Al-Muslimu ya'ishu bayna al-raja'i wal-khawf. The believer lives between these two things where that create a balance. They're more like two wings, right? It's al-raja', hoping in the mercy of Allah and hoping in the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of His punishment. Once you lose one of them or you lose the balance, you're not gonna, you know, be traveling to Allah in a healthy way. So you have to maintain these two things. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَذُو مَغْفِرَةٍ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And Allah is merciful to the creation even though they are immersed in their injustice and oppression. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And your Lord is severe in punishment. So you have to keep these two in mind. So remembering Allah's punishment and Allah's wrath and Allah's anger, this would keep you away from sin when your self takes over. And remembering the hope and focusing on the hope will help you avoid falling in despair of Allah's mercy. And it will give you the stamina and the energy to keep moving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَا. And the people say again, these people who disbelieve, say in defiance, why isn't there a sign sent upon you from Allah or from your Lord? Why isn't there a sign from you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to this, because this is not a question, because the Prophet ﷺ came with so many signs. Yet these people reject it. It's just like when you have an argument with someone, they ask a question, you provide them with an answer. And they say, you haven't answered, but I've given you an answer. And it's logical and it makes sense. But they don't want to see it, so they live in denial, or they respond in denial. They say, no, you haven't answered it. Give me an answer. Or I've asked you a question, you haven't answered. I did answer. No, you haven't answered. I did, but you are denying it. That's the reality. So the people, disbelievers, that's what they do. They ask for signs, the signs are there. And there's another story that I believe I previously mentioned, and it was just very interesting. There's a guy from Australia, and his video was on YouTube. And he said, basically, he's a revert. And he mentions his story. So he says, I researched different religions and read different religions and so on and so forth, and was looking into Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and so on and so forth, and Islam and others. So he said, and he had a dog, and he said, I loved my dog so much. And he said, one day my dog dies. And it was the time I was investigating probably Catholicism. So he said, it broke my heart. Some people love their dogs so much. Really, some people love their dogs so much. So it seems this guy was like this, like his dog was his companion. So he said, I felt so much anger. If God is there, I felt so much anger against him. Why does he take my best friend? Why does he take my dog? So he said, at that time I was speaking to some Catholics, and I asked them about, and I mentioned to them that, you know, about God and so on and so forth. And they said, you know, God loves you. You know, that's a blank statement that they give. God loves you. And God loves the world, that he sent his only son to be crucified and so on and so forth. So he said, that didn't make sense. So he responded to them, he said, you say God loves me. And he says in his own Australian accent, he says, my dog died. Like, my dog died. How come God loves me? If he loves me, why does he take my friend? Like, so... So he said, this didn't make sense. Then he, afterwards, he was looking into the Qur'an. He said, it made so much sense to me. So he was reading the translation, one of the translations of the Qur'an. He said, it made so much sense to me, and it appealed to me. So I was reading it. Now he says, I reached a point in the Qur'an where I was satisfied with it. But he says, in my small mind, I was waiting for a sign. I wanted a clear sign. So he said, it was summer night, very calm, peaceful, beautiful night. So I was at home. And I was in my room, the window was open, the curtains were there, it was calm, quiet, not even a small breeze of air. He said, I was peaceful. He said, then I addressed God, and I said, if this is your book, give me a sign. If this book is from you, if Islam is the truth, give me a sign now. And he said, I give you 15 minutes. If you don't give me a sign within 15 minutes or half an hour, you've lost your chance. Says, I sat, and he said, I was so desperate that even if the curtain moved a little bit, I would have said, this is the sign. He said, I was so desperate, I wanted any sign. But he said, nothing happened. And he said, 15 minutes or half an hour was, you know, gone. He said, sorry, God, I gave you enough chance, you didn't make it. He said, I ignored it. I said, I'm not going to look into it anymore. So he said, I put the Quran, he put a marker, and he put the Quran on his shelf, back on his shelf. He says, a couple of days later, I'm in my room and I feel a bit like lonely, sad. And I see the Quran and say, I felt the urge to read it again. So I'm going to say what he said, but I'm not sure exactly which verses he mentioned. But I have my own, like, I tried to figure it out. But I think he translated the verses loosely. So he says, I picked up the Quran and exactly the page where I left it, because I had a marker. And I started reading from where I left off. He said, the first sign that I read was towards that meaning, and they ask you for signs. They ask you for signs. And if they were to open their eyes and look around, they would see signs in everything. We've already given the sign. So he said, I felt so ashamed of myself that I was a living sign. My life was a living sign. And I was asking for a sign when the signs were given before I asked for them. So he said, that's the time I embraced Islam. So that's the truth. You want signs? Signs are all over the place. Everything. And we said last time that the line of poetry, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ. And everything, there is a sign. And it points. Everything in the creation. We said not only physical things, but even like human interactions, human experience. Everything that is in existence is a sign and it points you to Allah. But it's just we are not aware enough, or we're not focused enough to see that message in everything around us. So the disbelievers say, you know, we wish there was a sign that was sent upon him from his Lord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرْ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. You are just a warner. You were sent to convey the message. Then he says, وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. You're just a warner. You're just someone who brings the news. Reminds them of Allah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَغْ. Upon the message, the only obligation upon the messenger is to convey the message. It's just to convey the message. Then Allah says, وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. And for every nation, we sent a messenger. وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. And there is no nation except that Allah sent a messenger to them. In every nation. Somebody might say, you know, but we have indigenous people, indigenous cultures. These people know nothing about Islam, or they don't seem to be a revelation. Actually, if you study the indigenous cultures, all different religions as well, philosophies, you're going to find a lot of traces of divinity or divine revelation there. There are things that if you look at even the major religions, even Eastern philosophies, look into them, you're going to find things that could never come from a human mind. But it's twisted, it's changed over time, translated, so many things added to it, human interpretation and so on and so forth. But some signs of divinity or divine revelation, you can still see it there. And remember, like last year, I read into the book of Lao Tzu. And they believe Lao Tzu is the founder of, you know, the Taoism philosophy. So his book is called The Tao, which means the way. Reading into it, there are things you can see, no way a human being or a human mind could come up with something like this. But it's mixed with a lot of stuff, unfortunately. Mixed with a lot of stuff. So that shows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. And this in Usul al-Fiqh, this is called one of the Al-Fadhu al-Umum. And it has a lot of what we call مُؤَكِّدَات. Statements of emphasis. وَإِن, indeed, مِنْ أُمَّةٍ, okay, مِنْ أُمَّةٍ. And this is وَصَل and مَوْصُول. اسم وَصَل and مَوْصُول. حرف وَصَل and مَوْصُول. وَإِن مِنْ أُمَّةٍ. Basically Allah is saying, indeed, there is no nation except that we send to them a messenger. This is one of a very strong statement. So, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. So there is no nation except that we sent a messenger to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again said, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرٌ وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. And for every nation, we sent a guide. Someone to guide them. But we know that guiding that the messengers do is what we call hidayatu al-bayan wa tabligh. Hidayatu al-bayan is that you convey the message. But there's another type of guidance which is inspiration, inspiring people to follow the truth, which is hidayatu al-tawfiq. Hidayatu al-tawfiq, that Allah inspires a person to follow the truth. That's with Allah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. You do not guide whomever you love. Walakin Allah yahdi. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever He wills. So the real guidance, which is inspiring the heart to follow the truth, follow Islam, this is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, some of the verses in the Quran that show that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is only, his mission is to convey the message. And that Allah sent to every nation a prophet or a messenger. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's not upon you to guide people. Allah guides whomever He wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ra'd, فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. Later on it will come, inshaAllah, in the same surah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةِ الرَّسُولِ. In Surah Yunus, for every nation there is a messenger. And he says, وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. In Surah Fatir, there's no nation except a warner was sent to them. And in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. And in every nation, we have sent a messenger. We have sent a messenger. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk about His signs now in the creation. So these people are say, we want signs. Why there are no signs or proofs that are sent upon Him from His Lord? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَحْمِلُ كُلُّ أُنْثَى وَمَا تَغِيضُ الْأَرْحَامُ وَمَا تَزْدَادُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. By the way, Surah Al-Ra'd, really, if you want to feel the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to focus on Surah Al-Ra'd. Surah Al-Ra'd, it's called Ra'd, and it trembles the heart with the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read it with an open heart, it's so powerful. The way it talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it sort of grabs your heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what every woman or what every female carries in her womb. That's about humans. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha. This is about mammals, let's say. About mammals where the mother carries the child in the womb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the womb. Sometimes people might say, okay, but now, you know, with these ultrasound and these devices, we can know what is in the womb. Well, we can know at a certain time, right? There's a certain time in the pregnancy that we are able to see and know, right? But what about before that? And still with this, there is a percentage of mistakes. There is a percentage of mistakes, and these mistakes are very common. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the womb. And He knows before it even starts, before the, you know, copulation happens, before the whole, you know, process starts. Allah knows what is going to be in the womb of this mother. And also, apart from mammals, any type of female that has the genes of her offspring in her, Allah knows what this is. So Allah basically knows what's inside and what's outside. So Allah knows what is hidden from you. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha wa ma taghidu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. Wa ma taghidu al-arham, what the wombs lose. What the wombs lose. There are women who sometimes in the middle of the pregnancy, they have miscarriage. Some of these miscarriages are known and they are discovered. Some of these miscarriages happen seamlessly. And the woman doesn't even seem to know. Some women are surprised with some kind of bleeding. They don't know what it is. They go to the doctor, they tell her there was a fetus and it died. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the wombs during the pregnancy and before the pregnancy. And we know that from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ مَقَادِيرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قَبْلَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything that was going to happen. When we say everything, that means every small, minute detail was written in the preserved tablet 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit, where he says to his son, he says, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْقَلَمُ فَقَالَ لَهُ اكْتُبْ فَكَتَبَ كُلَّ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ كُلَّ مَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنْ مِتَّ عَلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ دَخَلْتَ النَّارِ. That's Ubadah ibn Samit advising his son, and he said, سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So Allah, the first thing Allah created was the pen. And Allah commanded the pen to write everything that was going to happen until the day of judgment. And he wrote down everything. So he said, if you die while you don't believe in this, you will enter the hellfire. I heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا تَزْدَدَ. And also, what grows in the wombs. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. And everything with Allah goes to according to a precise measure. Everything with Allah happens and takes place according to a precise measure. And this is a very profound verse. This is a very profound verse. So everything with Allah is already designed. Everything with Allah happens at what? At exactly the same rate, at the right time, the right rate, the right place, to the right people. And that's for those, any of the, you know, last year we talked about Tafsir Surah Luqman. Anyone was here? Surah Luqman, who was here? Yeah. You remember what's the main theme of Surah Luqman? What we said, the main theme of the whole surah, it goes around. Hikmah, al-hikmah, wisdom. We said wisdom is basically one of the best ways to translate wisdom in, or al-hikmah into English is appropriateness. Appropriateness, which means putting everything in the right place at the right time. Everything is, all the measures are right. All the measures are right. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ, and everything with Allah happens according to a precise measure. So there's, but this basically means we live in a world where there's no mistakes. There's no mistakes in this world. An accident happened, you said, oh, it was a mistake. It wasn't. This happened intentionally. Allah wanted this to happen. And it happened at the right time. I remember seeing, there was, subhanAllah, one of those videos where, like, sometimes these things are sad, but the commentary of humans, or sometimes the comments made by some people, really like show you how far off we are sometimes from the truth in our perception of what happens. There was this lady and a chimney, I think this happened in England, a chimney collapsed. The woman was just walking on the pavement or the sidewalk. And the chimney just at that time happened, there's no signs, it happened to collapse and it fell on her. And it died. She died. So the commentator said, she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's in the news. This woman was at the wrong time, at the wrong place at the wrong time. Actually, she was there at the right place at the right time, because that was her time to leave. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is according to measure. A woman has miscarriage, it wasn't a mistake. It was meant to happen. It was meant to happen. An accident, it's not accident. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It was designed. And there's something, by the way, interesting in the word coincidence. Coincidence. We try to imply, when we say coincidence, that it was random. But actually, even linguistically in English, when you say coincidence, what does it mean? I mean, two things agree. Two things agree. Okay? So it's not random. It says when two things happen to agree, so it's a process. It's a process. Anyway, so with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is according to a precise measure. There's nothing in this universe that happens randomly. There's no mistakes in this universe. There's nothing that goes wrong. But from our perspective, we say, oh, that wasn't meant to happen. That's not ideal. That's a problem. That's not good. But actually, everything happens, it is actually good. And if it's not good, Allah doesn't allow it to happen. Allah does not allow it to happen. Now yes, is there evil in what happens? There is evil in what happens. But this evil is relative. It's relative. It's evil. Like, because it's painful to me, or it's against my expectations, we call it evil. We call it evil. But Allah only allows to happen that which is essentially good. Which is essentially or ultimately good. This is what Allah allows. Okay, let's say something. Zina, is it good or bad? Let's say rape. Okay, make it even worse. Rape, is it good or bad? It's bad, it's evil. It is evil, absolutely. So why does Allah allow it to happen? In the grand scheme of things, Allah is going to bring out a good thing out of it. Allah's going to bring a good end out of it. It is evil. It is evil. But Allah's going to bring good out of it. There's a beautiful argument. Ibn al-Qayyim in Madarij al-Salikin talks about the concept of al-khayr wa-shar, good and evil. And he treats this in a very, like, I've never seen a person treats this in such beauty, the concept of good and evil. Is there evil or not? So he says, absolute evil does not exist. absolute evil does not exist. He says relative evil exists. This is why شر المطلق لا يوجد. لا يوجد. ليس في الوجود شر مطلق. لكن شر نسبي. شر نسبي. So this is the greatness of Allah. So whatever happens in the universe, it is meant to happen. It's بمقدار. It's according to a precise measure. And even looking, you know, not only events and things that happen or incidents, look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in this universe, the earth, the sun, the moon, the galaxies, all these celestial bodies, all this huge universe, everything is running according to a precise measure. The rate according to which the earth spins around its own axis, the rate according to which the earth goes around the sun and the moon goes around the earth and so on and so forth. Everything is at the right ideal rate. If anything goes wrong or changes slightly, this world or this universe will sort of destroy itself. But everything is just according to a precise measure. Then people say, why there are no signs? That's the irony here again. That's the irony. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. This also reminds us of the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, Allah the Most High, glorify Him, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, that who created and سَوَّى, He made everything right. Sawi min as-sawa, everything is just right in his creation. This includes physical objects, occurrences, events, things, everything is just created according to the best possible way. Alladhi khalaqa fasawwa walladhi qaddara fahada. And he made the qadar. Made the qadar. He gave everything its precise measures and its destiny and its plan, and then he guided everything to that plan. So we are guided to what's going to happen in our lives. We're guided to it. We are guided to it. And this could open a discussion, but we're not going to discuss it here, which is, do humans have free will? Do humans have free will? That's a big argument, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot go wrong. With Allah, you cannot go wrong. There's no oppression. Humans are given in this lifetime the ability to save themselves from the hellfire. But if they go to the hellfire, they must have chosen at some level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah does not do injustice. So the people who will end up in the hellfire, these people, there's no way there would be injustice to them. There's no way. Anyone who goes there deserves it, and by his own choice or her own choice. See, Shaykh here provides he speaks for long about the Arham. Okay, it doesn't move. No problem. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself. He says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ, he knows the unseen. وَالشَّهَادَة, the seen. We said last time there are two worlds. Alam al-ghayb, the world of the unseen. Wa alam al-shahada, the world of the seen. What we see. It is seen to Allah, but to us, okay, it is, we don't see it. There's a screen. There's a screen, so there are things we don't see. So for us, there's what we perceive, alam al-shahada, and what we cannot perceive, alam al-ghayb, which is unseen to us. Unseen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. It's the same to Him. All of it is open to Him. He knows it inside out. He knows about all the details. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ. Allah is the omnipotent, the most powerful. الْكَبِيرُ الْمُتَعَالِ, He is the highest. He is the highest. And this is صِفَةُ الْعُلُو لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, صفة العلو ذاتا وصفة العلو قهرا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high. He is above His creation. And literally speaking, and figuratively speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is above His creation in terms of power and might as well. in terms of power and might. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. He rose above the throne. And we know the uppermost of all the creation, because above the seventh heaven, there is Al-Kursi and Al-Arsh. Al-Kursi and Al-Arsh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His throne. How? We don't understand this with our minds. Our hearts know it. We believe in it as truth, but we do not ask how. Because how is for the creation. Our minds are designed to understand the creation. Alam al-Ghayb, we said, if you remember, when we started saying, talking about the heavens and the pillars, we said Allah is giving us a sign that the world of the unseen, you cannot process it with this brain. This brain is given to you to navigate this world, this physical world that we know. The world of the unseen, the only way for you to know it is revelation, and it resonates with your fitrah. That's it. You stop there. So, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْكَبِيرُ وَالْمُتَعَالِ. Allah is going to talk about His knowledge now. He knows the seen and the unseen, so He knows everything. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِالْلَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. Same to Allah is the person who conceals what they say, like they whisper, or they keep their words in their chest, in their mind. You don't speak them. Or you express them openly. This is similar. Both of them are the same to Allah. Allah has access to them. It doesn't make any difference with Allah. But for us with the creation, if you express what you have in mind, now I see it. I hear it. If you keep it inside, I don't know it. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the same. They are the same. سَوَاءٌ مِّنْكُمْ مَنْ أَسَرَّ الْقَوْلَ وَمَنْ جَهَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ هُوَ مُسْتَخْفٍ بِالْلَّيْلِ وَسَارِبٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. And similar to Allah are the ones who are hiding themselves or hiding whatever they do in the darkness of the night, and the one who is doing things openly in daylight. It's the same. To Allah, He sees them the same. There's no difference. But for you, it's different. For you, it's different. So Allah is beyond your limitations. Allah is beyond your limitations. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking now about the creation here. Because Allah says, whoever exposes what they have, or they expose it or conceal it, or whether you hide something in night or show it during the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. He has access to all of this. It's all the same to Him. Then Allah says about these human beings, about humans, that we have angels to guard us. Angels to guard us. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. We have angels around us. يَحْفَظُونَهُ. They protect us. They protect humans. يَحْفَظُونَهُ. مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. By the command of Allah. By the command of Allah. So we are protected by angels that protect us from anything that was not meant to happen. There's a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that the angels, I can't remember the exact wording, but the meaning of the hadith is that there are angels that are protecting human beings. Oh, this might be mentioned here by the Sheikh if he... No, he doesn't mention it. Anyway, so the Prophet says that there are angels protecting human beings from anything that was not written in Al-Qadr. And when the moment of death is meant to come to this person, they would leave him to his fate. The angels would leave that person to his fate. So they would lift, or they would take away the protection. So this person meet their fate. So we are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are protected. We don't realize it. We think it's automatic. Oh, there's nothing bad happening to us, right? Or we just walk around safely. But this is not happening automatically. There are angels that are holding, that are protecting you from anything else in this world. And we don't see this kind of pampering. We are pampered by Allah. Allah has appointed angels that take turns. That's the meaning of mu'aqibat. They take turns, one after the other. One after the other. And they protect you by the command of Allah. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They protect you from anything that was not written for you. So we walk around, we think, oh, there's nothing happening. No. Oh, no damage is happening to me. No, it's not happening to you because there are angels protecting you. There are angels protecting you. And for example, when someone is run over by a car, it's not an accident. It was meant to happen at that moment. The angels lift their protection and they allow the qada or the qadar of Allah to happen to that person. This is how things happen. And this is something very interesting. By the way, like we study physics, right? We study the world around us as physics. But it's very interesting, something very interesting. Why does the earth have gravity, for example? Just to show you that for Muslims, sometimes we talk about the Islamization of knowledge, but we don't even do it well. Islamization of knowledge, truly, what it would be, is actually giving science a very profound context, real context. Gravity, for example. Why does the earth or planets and celestial bodies, why do they have gravity? Physics and chemistry are going to explain to you, well, you know, bodies have gravitational power, pulling power, because of their atoms are put together and there are free electrons and so on and so forth. And the bigger the mass, the stronger the gravity is, and so on and so forth, right? But this doesn't explain where this power still comes from. It says it doesn't say why. It just says how. But you can't. You need to reach a point in how where you have to answer why. But Allah Subhanahu wa Taala talks about this in the Quran, and you'll find these in the surahs. There's a few surahs in the Quran that start with feminine plural, jam'u mu'annath salim. For example, وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا وَالْعَاصِفَاتِ عَصْفًا. Another surah, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطًا وَالصَّافَّاتِ صَفًّا. Again, وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا. What are these? These are angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about angels. What do the angels do? They run the universe by the command of Allah. So we think this power in this earth to pull things towards it, towards its center, is just inherent in the earth itself. No, this is happening, by the way, because of angels. What we call physical phenomena or physical rules that are unbreakable, what are these happening? No, the earth is just an object there. Where does it get this gravitational power? Where do the electrons get this gravitational power? Where does it come from? What's the power behind it? That's the angels. That's the angels. There's nothing that happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the wind blows. These are angels that are getting the wind to blow. The clouds are moving and they give away the moist in them in the form of rain. Why does this happen? It's angels that cause it to happen. So things that we take for granted, that's the issue, is that we are blind. We are blind to these things. We don't see what is happening behind them. And this is why it's very interesting, by the way, Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says something very interesting. He says, كُلُّ حَرَكَةٍ فِي الْعَالَمِ الْعُلْوِيِّ وَالسُّفْلِيِّ فَأَصْلُهَا الْمَحَبَّةِ. That's very interesting. Every move in the lower world, which is earth and what we see, and the upper world, which is heavens, samawat, the skies. The power behind it, the force behind it, is love. Is love. Love of who? Love of Allah. He says, because everything that happens, happens because of an angel, because of angels. And angels, they do what they do in worship and obedience to Allah. And then he explains, or he previously explains, that the essence of worship, aslul ibad al-mahabba, the heart and the essence of worship is love. So he says everything that is happening in this universe, every move behind it, the force behind it, the default force behind it is love. Love of Allah. Love of Allah. So the angels, the things that are happening around us, oh, they're just happening by themselves, right? The earth is just going around the sun by itself, right? Or by physical laws. No, what is the power behind all these physical laws? It's the angels that Allah put to run this universe in that fashion. And the moment Allah commands these angels to leave these things alone, these things will just collapse. Anyway. So we live around, and around us there are angels protecting us. يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the state of a people until they have changed what's in themselves. What's in themselves. And that's a very powerful rule. Now the original meaning of this is that Allah does not take a gift or a blessing from a people until they change what's in themselves. So if they have belief, if they change it into disbelief, Allah will take away blessings that He has given them. Allah will take away blessings that He has given them. But it also works on the opposite meaning, that Allah does not change the bad state of a people until they change what's in themselves. That's also true. Now this, by the way, this verse is quoted so in the wrong context so often. So often. Like, I remember when some of the, what they call the Arab Spring, when some of these revolutions happened, took place, people said, now Allah is going to change our states because we have changed what's in ourselves. So it says, so what was changed in ourselves? Oh, now we stopped being coward, we spoke out. This is what we say, قَوْلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. This is قَوْلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. This is speaking about Allah without knowledge. Because when Allah says that Allah does not change the state of a people until they have changed what's in themselves, what you change in yourself in order for your situations or your conditions to change is what you have in your heart towards Allah. Love, we're talking about love of Allah. We're talking about fear of Allah. We're talking about obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about trust and reliance in Allah. We're talking about faith in Allah. That's what we're talking about. It's not anything you change in yourself. Allah is talking about something specific, which is the whole Quran is speaking about these things. So when someone claims that this is what the verse means, it's how you hijack a verse out of context, and you use the religion or the words of Allah to justify something that is more of a human endeavor. That's very serious and very problematic. It's very serious. This is why sometimes commentators or people who have little bit of Islamic knowledge but they're not very well grounded, these people cause a lot of confusion about these things. This is why it happened, unfortunately, and we saw it so much in some of the Muslim countries, unfortunately, what happened. And I heard this a few times on the news. People said, Allah promised that if we change, He's going to change our situation. We changed. And where is Allah now? These are Muslims saying this. Where is Allah now? Look at us, our children being killed, women have been kidnapped, and so on and so forth. Where is Allah now? I've seen this, I would say, countless number, sometimes in person, sometimes on TV. That's because, unfortunately, some dua, some people who speak for Islam, they went out in public and they said to these people, do this, do that, and Allah is with you. And Allah has given you victory. That's part of our big problem today as well. That people speak about Allah without true knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where the scholars, the true scholars, at these times they have given advice. They've given advice, and the advice was clear, but they were given names. They were called names, unfortunately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَالٍ. Allah is saying, and if Allah wants su'an, su' means punishment here. If Allah wants punishment for people, wants a trial, for He has written it down upon people, no one is going to stop it. These people are going to have no wal, no wali, no someone helper to protect them and guardian to save them from the what Allah has sent upon them. So this shows the power of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The word of your Lord has been completed, has been perfected. صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. In truth and in justice. The word of Allah has these two, all the time. Whether it's a word of qadr or it's a word of sharia. It has these two traits. Sidqan, it is true. And adlan, it is, there's justice with it. So we don't question what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, Allahu ghalibun ala amrihi, walakinna akthara an-nasi la ya'lamun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make His word come true. That's what it means. When Allah wants something to happen, Allah has the power to make it come to pass. Allah has the power to make it come to pass. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so if Allah wants to bring something, punishment, pain, torture, a trial upon a people, there is la maradda lahu. There is no way or there's no one who can repel that, who can protect them from that. No one can oppose this. No one can stop this. وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِن وَلٍ. And without Allah, they have no protector and no helper. I remember reading something just to show you as well, connect some dots, how some older philosophers as well, they have some kind of traces of revelation. There is, I believe, in Chinese, some of the Chinese philosophies, they say there's nothing more powerful than a word whose time has come. There's nothing more powerful than a word whose time has come. And this word, what it means is a divine word. If something is, the meaning of this is, if something is meant to happen, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. And for me personally, this must come from a divine origin. There's nothing more powerful than a word whose time has come. That's a divine word. When the word of Allah comes, no one can stop it. Like you know, the Bedouins in our country, they say al-muqaddar ma'annu muqaddar. You know, whatever is written by Allah, there's no way to hide it. Or there's no way to hide from it. There's no way to hide from it. Allah's written something's going to happen. أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Wherever you may be, death is going to come to you, even if you are in fortified, you know, towers or, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to stop here. That's a good way, a good point to stop here. So basically, just to summarize and recap, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is talking about Himself. He's talking about His might. He's talking about His power. And you can see when you recite these verses that Allah is in control of everything. Allah is in control of everything. By the way, one of the reasons why the Qur'an, why it's important to read the Qur'an in our times, when most people are watching the news and seeing what's happening, you know, when you have excessive focus on what's happening outside, you might lose faith. You might lose faith. People will say, I want to know what is happening in the world. Well, good. But have you balanced this out with knowing the context of everything that is happening? Because if you see a lot of the suffering, your mind is going to question, where is Allah? Why is this happening to the Muslims? Aren't we upon the truth? Why is this happening? But this is why it's important to read the Qur'an, because the Qur'an is going to provide you with a context for everything that's happening. So when things happen, and you keep reminding, because we humans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about humans, that humans are forgetful. Humans are forgetful, that we forget. If you don't remind yourself of something, even though at some level you know it's there, but your mind will forget about it and will act as if it's not there. This is why it's important to remind. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, because the reminder benefits the believers. So when you recite Qur'an and look at these things, that Allah is in charge. Allah is in control. Everything happens is by the decree of Allah, and by the power, and by the knowledge, and by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything happens according to a precise measure. So there's nothing random. Humans, evil humans, are not taking over the world. Yeah, whatever they do, they're doing this, and Allah is allowing this to happen for a very good reason and for a very good end. So these people are not doing things in spite of Allah or against the will of Allah. No, these things are happening. Allah is in control. Allah is allowing these things to happen, although they seem to be overwhelming, but good things are going to come out of this. So when you see When you keep connected to the Qur'an, this is going to help you put things that are happening in place, so they don't overwhelm your mind and your emotions. So this is why it's important to keep this in mind, that Allah is in charge. Allah controls everything. Allah knows everything. Everything is happening. We live in a universe where there is no mistakes. There's no mistakes. There's nothing random happens. Nothing happens against the will of Allah. Nothing slips Allah's will or attention. Don't worry about this. No one wins anything against Allah. No one. So keep this in mind. It's going to help you put whatever the news, whatever happens around, you're going to put it in context. You'll be able to see things. Even your personal circumstances, when they are overwhelming, at least there will be something in your mind that knows that Allah is merciful. Allah is in charge. Things will be okay, even though I don't see what's happening or what will happen. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I can put my trust in Allah and I'll let things go. And let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of me. By the way, that's the meaning of tawakkul. Meaning of tawakkul is not when you see, you know, how things are going to work out. Real tawakkul happens when you don't see any hope, physically. Like, practically speaking, you don't see any hope. You don't see how things are going to work out. And you just somehow put your trust in Allah and you know Allah is going to get you out of the situation. That's what tawakkul is. But when you know what's going to happen, everyone can have tawakkul, right? Everyone can have tawakkul. But real tawakkul is when you don't see any hope, you don't see any way out, but you know, because of your knowledge of Allah, you know Allah is going to get you out of this. And you trust. So, alhamdulillah, I see a lot of insights, mashallah, in this surah. Jazakumullah khair for your patience and your attendance. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Any questions before we move on? We can take a couple, inshallah. No questions? Yeah. Which part?
The whole thing kind of just flew over my head.
The whole thing? Yeah. What I'm saying, sometimes people promise things. We humans, we say, we promise, oh Allah, we promise on behalf of Allah. We say, if you do this, Allah's going to give you this, right? But when we don't have good knowledge of Allah and we just claim this, we put people in fitna. So what I said, I was speaking specifically about what they call the Arab Spring. That there are some maybe well-meaning, right, people, but the problem is they did not, what I believe, consult with the scholars who can read the situation more deeply. So some of these good dua, maybe, they went around to people and they said, yes, you go against oppression and you do this and you do that, and Allah promised victory because you guys have. Like one of the dua, really what he said, Wallahi, I see it like daylight. Wallahi, you guys are given victory. Wallahi, innakum lamansurun. I can see it with my own eyes. And 2 years later, this guy, until today, may Allah guide him. We don't talk about hearts, but at least we criticize the what externally happened. Basically, he was crying on TV, saying, please help these people. Please, these people are in trouble. These Muslims in this specific country are in trouble, and these people need help, and the Muslims have let them down. And subhanAllah, somebody put both clips together, and he said, look at this. You promised them, and he said, wallahi, it's coming soon. And he actually gave a date. He said, like, the turn of the new year, wallahi, you will be victorious, and you're going to clear your country. And the new video was actually about a year and a half later. And he was crying and saying, help me, these people, and this is done to them, and this is done to them, and Muslims have let them down, and so on and so forth. So that's the issue. What I'm saying, people give promises on behalf of Allah without having proper knowledge. This is why scholars have a deeper insight. Like Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, yes, the Muslims in Damascus fought against the Tatar or the Mughals. They fought and they were outnumbered. But there was something different there. Ibn Taymiyyah said, wallahi innana la mansurun. He said, wallah. We are victorious. As if he was seeing what was going to happen. So some people said to him, say inshallah. He said, inshallah tahqiqan la ta'liqan. He said, inshallah. What I'm saying, inshallah, that it is happening. I'm not saying this, that hopefully or perhaps. No, I'm saying, inshallah, emphatically, it's happening. I know it. He says, I know it. I see it. That's what he means. But that's a scholar. That's a different scholar. And there are what they say, qara'in, there are signs that show exactly what he was talking about. But people who have some knowledge about Islam, that's enough to advise people in their personal affairs and pray and worship and fast, which is good. But when they get into these big issues and ignore what the scholars said, so they give people false hope and they say that's from Allah. And that causes people fitna, because these people who got into some of these issues, they said, you know, where is Allah? If Allah is there, where does He allow this to happen? And there are Muslims, unfortunately, who've been through trouble in the recent events. They left Islam. They left Islam. Some of them even became Christians when they saw how the missionaries helped them, gave them shelter, and so on and so forth, with all this kind of trouble. And Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, he says, has a beautiful quote. He says, أكثر المسلمين لو عرضت عليهم الفتنة أو لو عرضوا على الفتنة لارتدوا عن الإسلام. He says many people, a lot of them, a great majority among the Muslims, if they were exposed to trials, they would give up Islam. So he says it's better for them to keep them without trials, keep them safe, just like they are. Don't expose them to fitna. He would save them from the hellfire; they would go into paradise. But if they are offered so many trials, they would lose faith. So they're just sort of on the edge. So alhamdulillah, keep them there. Don't get them into fitna. It's not a point. The Prophet ﷺ said, "لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو لكن إذا لقيتموهم فاصبروا." Don't wish to meet your enemy. Don't wish to meet your enemy. But if you meet them, be patient and fight them. But don't wish for trials. Don't search for trials. Keep yourself safe. Scholars have always, people wanted to argue with them, speak with them. No. I know my religion, I don't want to argue with you. But hear what I have to say. He says, I know what my Islam is, I'm going to hold on to it. I have nothing to do with what you want to say. You need to argue, you go and argue with someone else. I don't want to hear that. Don't expose yourself. And this is why, again, I think it was Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, مَنْ أَمِنَ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنْ سَلَبَهُ إِيَّهُ. Whoever feels safe about his iman, for the blink of an eye, Allah might take his iman away. Don't expose yourself to fitna. Play safe. With Allah, always play safe. Play safe. I hope this answers your question. Barakallahu feek. Any more questions?
Just want to share an experience.
Yeah.
The place where I work, there's a reflection room there. So you can go and pray from any faith. And alhamdulillah, I try to pray as much as I can. So on every Wednesday, there is a group of Christians who meet together, and they have a different way of expressing their faith. Once I experienced a person. His name was Muhammad something, and he changed his religion from Muslim to Christianity. And when I heard that, my heart was crying from inside. And so he had half Christian name and half Muslim name. So Muhammad something, I don't remember the mixed half. So the group of people are asking him, so what do we call you? We call you the Christian name or the Muhammad name? And for some reason, they were emphasizing on the Christian name, but he said, no, I like Muhammad. So you can call him Mo or Muhammad, but I like that name. So that was the thing, but from inside I was literally...
Hada Allah. May Allah guide him. May Allah guide him. Allah mustahil. طيب جزاك الله خير. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيك.